Hi, good morning. Let us pray before we share in today's word. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would really speak truth into the heart. Into my heart, Father, as you use me to share on Psalm 52 tonight. I pray, Father, that you would use me to speak your word and to speak it in a way that would really communicate the power of the tongue, the negative power of the tongue, and the positive power of the tongue that is shared through Psalm 52, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would use me to convey your truth. And Lord, that for all of those who are coming in this morning to listen to this word, as well as to those who download and listen, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit just really speaks to them, speaks to us, and really just challenges our heart, but also warms and encourages our heart too. Thank you, Father, in your Son's name I pray. Amen. So this morning we'll be reading from Psalm 52. To the choir master, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. So the context of Psalm 52 is the very famous story of David going to Ahimelech the priest when he was being persecuted by Saul, and that Ahimelech helped David and gave him bread from the temple, as well as gave him other equipment and accessories to help him along the way, which Saul obviously was not very happy about, because Saul expected people to be loyal to him. Saul expected people to support him. Saul expected people to persecute David, and he was very unhappy about David's, from his perception, what David had done to him. And so David now is writing about what Doeg the Edomite did. And Doeg is a person that was working for Saul. And he was also someone who witnessed Ahimelech helping David. And so why don't I read the psalm first? I'll tell you the story and then we'll come back to the psalm. Psalm 52. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. Selah. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. The righteous shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. Amen. And so I want to share with you the context and the story that led to David writing this psalm. And we can read this from 1 Samuel 21 and 22. So I'll just read through the story very quickly. David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech came to meet David, trembling, and said to him, why are you alone and no one with you? And David said to Ahimelech the priest, the king has charged me with a matter and said to me, let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such a place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever is here. And the priest answered David, I have no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread. If the young men have kept themselves from women. And David answered the priest, truly, Women have been kept from us as always when I go on an expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy even when it is an ordinary journey. How much more today will be their vessels be holy? So the priest, this is Ahimelech, gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence. So this is the bread that's used in the temple and also traditionally used in the tabernacle. Now, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen. And David said to Ahimelech, then have you not here a spear or a sword at hand? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you struck down in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for here is none, there is none but that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. So long story short is that David wanted help. Now, David did not tell Ahimelech the whole story of why he was on the run, but Ahimelech gave him the bread, gave him the sword. And so there he went. And Ahimelech basically helped him. He inquired to the Lord. He spoke to the Lord and provided some assistance to David. Now, this is what happens next, because Doeg the Edomite, he's basically like a spy. And so when he saw this happen, he reported it back to Saul. And of course, Saul was very unhappy that Ahimelech helped David. So chapter 21, 1 Samuel 21 continues, 22. Saul heard that David was discovered and the men who were with him. Saul was sitting at Gibeah under the tamarisk tree on the height with a spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. And Saul said to his servants who stood about him, hear now, people of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? No one discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who stood by the servants of Saul, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, the Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him provisions and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Now pausing here. It's very interesting that under the leadership of a king that is jealous, of a king that is not filled with love, he's demanding people to report on David. Now remember, David had won a war for him. David beat Goliath is for him and for Israel. And David had sacrificed life and limb for this man. And Saul right now has a personal vendetta against David, and he expected his own people to rat on David. Now, clearly, David is much more popular than Saul took him for. And so no one wanted to tell Saul where David was. Everyone wanted to protect David. Saul was obviously very unhappy about that, but he did have a loyal follower, and that's Doeg the Edomite. And so when he told Saul that Ahimelech had helped David, when he told Saul who had conspired against Saul, that's the story here that we share and we'll continue. And the king sent to summon Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house. The priests who were at Nob and all of them came to the king. And Saul said, hear now, son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said to him, why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword and have inquired of God for him so that he has risen against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king, and who among all your servants is so faithful as David, who is a king's son-in-law and captain over your bodyguard and honored in your house? Is today the first time I have inquired of God for him? No, let not the king impute anything to his servant or to all the house of my father, for your servant has known nothing of all this, much or little. And the king said, you shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house. And the king said to the guard who stood about him, turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. And they knew that he fled and did not disclose it to me. But the servants of the king would not put out their hand to strike the priests of the Lord. Then the king said to Doeg, "You turn and strike the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priests, and he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod, and not the city of the priests he put to the sword, both man and woman, child and infant, ox, donkey, and sheep he put to the sword. But one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. Abiathar told David that Saul killed the priests of the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, "I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, 'I have occasioned the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me. Do not be afraid. For he who seeks my life seeks your life. With me, you shall be in safekeeping.'" Amen. And so, sorry for the noise in the background. And so we continue here. And then we're reading from Psalm 52. You can see here that the story really hinges on one thing. David is commenting on what Doeg the Edomite had done. He's commenting and he's basically saying that the steadfast love endures all day, but the contrast is the tongue that plots destruction like a sharp razor, the worker of deceit. If you go back to verse 2-4, this is what happens. He's describing what Doeg had done. Doeg used his tongue to plot destruction. He used his tongue like a sharp razor as a worker of deceit. He loved evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right, Selah. And he loved all words that devour. He wanted to use his tongue deceitfully. And so David is pronouncing judgment on this man. He's saying, "God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of living." And that's David's pronouncement of judgment on Doeg, what he had done. Now, technically, Doeg had not spoken lies. Technically, that is true. But then he did not understand that he used his tongue in a way that brought about destruction. And because Doeg clearly wanted the benefit of Saul's favor. He wanted the benefit of Saul's favor, and so he spoke in a way that didn't bring about love, but brought about destruction, and quite literally, he brought about death. His tongue, although he used it deceitfully, he actually went on, his actions went on to model after what he had used his tongue for, and that is, he went on to murder the priests, as well as the priests' families, as well as the nation of priests from the city of Nob. Now, by contrast, David then says, "What do the righteous do?" This is verse 6. "The righteous shall see fear and shall laugh at him, saying, 'See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly." And so David now is contrasting. Verses 1-5 talks about the evil boast of this man, Doeg. And by contrast, David is saying, "Oh, but we will now laugh in the face of evil. We laugh in the face of the man who does not make God his refuge." Of course, this is the Edomite. "We laugh at the man who trusts in his own riches. We laugh at the man who seeks refuge in his own destruction. Because the only life-giving thing, the only thing that gives life is what? Is the repeated phrase, that steadfast love of God. That's the thing that gives David life. That's what David can say in verse 8. "I am like a green olive tree in the house of God." Because why? "I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. He will use his tongue to thank God forever. He will use his tongue to trust, to say, to speak the steadfast love of God. And David will wait on God patiently, for that is what it means to be in the presence of the godly." So David now is saying, "I am influenced by the love of God. The people who did not rat me out, or the people who understood my mission, would use their tongue wisely." And so when we come to these verses, we realize that actually there's a lot of teaching on how you use your tongue. In Proverbs 6, this is what it says. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. And one who sows discord among brothers. So these are things that the Lord hates. And specifically, the Edomite did almost all of them. What did the Edomite do? He had hands that shed innocent blood. He had a heart that devised a wicked plan. He had a feet that made haste to run to evil. He was a witness that breathed out discord among brothers. He did almost all of the things that the Lord hates, things that are an abomination to him. Yes, even though the Edomite spoke some truth, that is, of course, the fact that Ahimelech helped David, he did not provide the full picture, because Ahimelech clearly did not know that David was on the run, but more so that Ahimelech, because he had inquired of God, that's why he wanted to help David. The action was inspired by God. The action was not, because I'm loyal to Saul, therefore I must help Saul at all times. And so when the Edomite failed to bring out the fact that this interaction he was witnessing was an interaction that was a result of God's inspiration, a result of Ahimelech helping a godly man. And even Ahimelech himself explained the same. Well, when had I not ever inquired of the Lord for David? He'd done that before. Saul ignored it. The Edomite ignored it. And what they wanted was destruction. To the point where even the servants of Saul didn't even want to hurt the priests. They didn't even want to persecute the priests. Saul said, please kill the priests. And what happened? None of them wants to do it. None of them wanted to persecute the priest, and only the Edomite did. So we're going to go back to 1 Samuel 22. The king said, "You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house." He said to the guard who stood about him, "Turn and kill the priest of the Lord." But the servants of the king would not even do that. Verse 17, the servants of the king would not put out their hand to strike the priest of the Lord. And so he turned to an Edomite, a herdsman. He turned to someone that wasn't even part of his main core team. He turned to someone that was basically, who was just a messenger. And he said, "No, you do it. You kill the priests." And so here, Saul and the Edomite put their hand together to kill the anointed people of God. And so you can tell right here now that this supposed truth spoken by the Edomite was nothing more than a facade for a tongue that wanted to bring about destruction, a tongue that wants to bring about wickedness, to devise evil plans, to bring discord among brothers. Now, the power of the tongue is not lost on us. I'm sure many of us have read scriptures and passages that touch on the power of the tongue. And there's this one chapter in James chapter 3 that talks about this in some more detail. It says this: "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his own body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Now, this is very interesting. James chapter 3 talks about the dangers of the tongue, He talks about how the tongue can be misused, how even a small power as the tongue can actually manipulate situations that will lead to even a great forest to be set ablaze. That is the power of the tongue. And David here is describing, indeed, that when the power of the tongue is used in the wrong way, that it will lead to the death of the priest, it will lead to the deaths of the priest's family, and so forth. And so here we see that it's very important to learn from the lesson of what David had observed. David is trying to share with us that when the heart is filled with the steadfast love of God, the conduct, of course, will then match accordingly. When the steadfast love of God is the thing that drives one, then the plans, then even when one uses a tongue, it will use it in a way that will bring about the opposite of what the Lord hates in Proverbs chapter 6. So I said already to you the things that the Lord hates. So instead of haughty eyes, instead of a lying tongue, instead of hands that shed innocent blood, the steadfast love of God will be able to use the tongue to speak a type of truth that would preserve the innocent, a type of truth that would not devise wicked plans, but dismantle wicked plans. A tongue that would not run to evil, but run to Jesus. A tongue that would be a good witness that breathes out truth, a truth that gives out living waters. A tongue that does not sow discord, but a tongue that actually brings about unity. Not a tongue that demands loyalty. Not a tongue that demands allegiance, not a tongue that tells people to rat on each other, that tells people to talk on each other, to tell on each other, to report on each other, but a tongue that brings about healing. And if you can read here, that is why David can then say confidently in Psalm 52, verse 8, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. He's saying, I am full of life. I am bearing fruit. Why? Because I stand on the steadfast love of God. I give thanks because of the steadfast love of God. I use my tongue to give thanks. I use my tongue to speak truth. I use my tongue to bring about true community. And that's why we read in later stories that David was able to gather these 300 men that would live and to die for him, these 300 men that would rather be persecuted alongside him and with him to do God's work than to stand with a corrupt king, to stand with a king that wanted people to use their tongue to conspire and to wreak havoc and to bring about and sow discord. And so, brothers and sisters, what does it mean for us today? Well, it means that actually, ironically, we don't just look at what we speak. We don't just look at what we say, because that's just behavioral management. We don't just learn how to communicate better. Well, that's communication skills. That's communication lessons. Those are important. But what David is saying, that root issue is something that is very fundamental, very basic, and that all of you should know before today's sermon anyway. Is that, are we filled with God's steadfast love? Are we confident in God's steadfast love? Do we know that his steadfast love can transform us and the people around us? Do we pray for the Sauls? Do we pray for the Edomites? Do we pray that they are filled by God's steadfast love? Do we pray that they're so filled with God's anointing that they repent? And that by being filled with God's steadfast love, that even the Edomite who used his tongue in such a way will be able to turn and to use his tongue in a way that is loving, that is caring, a tongue that can bring about unity, a tongue that can bring about healing. Or do we simply pray that they use their tongue more wisely, that they use their tongue more effectively and in a more cunning way? No, of course not. Brothers and sisters, I think that's the point here. The point here is that it's not about how we use our tongue. It's not just about the power of the tongue. The point here is what is driving the hearts of those who use that tongue, whether wisely or unwisely. And we just need to check our hearts this morning, whether we are filled with that steadfast love. Because if we are, then naturally we will speak in love. If we are, then naturally we will communicate with sensitivity. If we are, then naturally we know that our tongue can be used to bring about healing, can bring about restoration, can bring about reconciliation. Speaking for myself, there are many relationships, family and friends, which require healing. And it's so easy to use one's tongue in an unhelpful, haughty, and destructive way. But as soon as I read this chapter and I remind myself, God's love fills me. His love, the love that sacrificed his son for me, the love that reached out to me even when I hated him, even when I'm walking in sin, even when I struggle, even when I have not just imperfections, but sinful thoughts, even in those moments, God is steadfastly loving me. That love transforms me, and that allows me to hold my tongue in ways that allows me to bring healing, but also to employ and to use my tongue when necessary to bring about that healing and reconciliation. And so this morning, I pray that we give thanks. We really do give thanks for God's steadfast love, that we return to his steadfast love, and that we pray for those around us who have lost sight of that love. Again, it seems basic. It seems fundamental. But David here is saying something that is basic and fundamental that, if not understood correctly, could lead to wanton destruction and wanton discord. So we'll spend a bit of time now to meditate as we invite Sterling to lead us in worship this morning.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ. He is so. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Holy Spirit. let the bruised and iron rage, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong, let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us.
Hi, and let us spend some time in prayer. And Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day. And Lord, we just want to treasure this weekend as we spend time in rest. And for those of us who are working, we pray that you're blessed and that we are reminded that this morning is a time for us to be filled with God's love, to be filled with God's anointing. And so that throughout this day, that we're conscious that when we employ our tongue, are we doing it in a way that demonstrates God's steadfast love? Thank you, Jesus. We pray that you'll bring about that healing, and bring about that restoration through our understanding and receipt and thanks of your love. Let us now pray for our community. Let's now pray firstly for those that have been diagnosed with cancer and those who are undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray next for those that are ill and have yet to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for healing and that they too will know Jesus. Let's pray now for those that are struggling with infirmities, that the Lord will bring healing to them. You. Let's now pray for those that are now recovering from COVID. Pray for Christina's mom and her helper. Pray for Lynn Han and Natalie Lee. I understand Lynn had already recovered, so praise God, and just pray for the others. Now also pray for the frontline medical workers, Abby, Amy, Christine, Mia, Jackie, Jade, Janet, JJ, Lawrence, Lynn, Peter, and Vanessa. Pray that the Lord gives them extra strength, courage, and yeah, no, and also, of course, we give thanks for all the work that they're doing in this very turbulent time. So yeah, let's really lift them up and it's really interesting for them. Let's pray now for those that are looking for job opportunities. Let's pray for Andrew, Sterling, Wesley, and Ian. I think Andrew just recently got offered a really good job. So praise God. And so we'll try to update that slide. But in the meantime, let's pray for the others. Pray that God opens doors. We know that our prayers work. You know, these people are getting amazing jobs. We know that people are getting healed. So let's keep pressing in. Let's keep pressing in. Let's now pray for Mission Focus. Let's pray for our relationships and people that are serving in the areas in Cambodia, North Korea, the missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, and the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's pray that the Lord really just continues to minister in these regions, and that with the world opening up again, that this also creates more opportunities for ministry. Let's pray for that. Let's pray next for the SP weekend gatherings, most of which are no longer online. Praise God that we can meet in person. Pray for the Sunday services, the Well, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, Youth, Spin and Spill, all the classes and all the meetings. Understand Spill is having their anniversary on Sunday. Let's pray that it's a great time for them as well. And of course, for those of us who know, there's also the meeting, the All Sons meeting on Sunday. Let's pray that the meeting goes well, that above all, there's humility and that God's love is communicated and exemplified and demonstrated.
temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Let's pray for Alpha, pray for logistics, volunteer and guest protection, great harvest and salvation. I think Alpha is coming and nearing to its end. Let's really pray for the hearts of those that are really close to walking and believing in Jesus. Let's pray that the Lord really brings them home, brings them to the destination that the Lord would want to see them in. Let's pray that they really take part in this church, not just as visitors, not just as those who are interested, but that as sons and daughters of God. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for those who are pregnant or recently gave birth. Joan recently gave birth. Winnie as well on this list. So let's pray for Carmen, Fiona, Leslie, Dayong, and others. Let's pray that the Lord is with them, that they carry the baby to full term in full health, both mother and baby, and that the father is able to help where they can, Father. And let's pray that, that you'll bring about their healing and bring about a smooth delivery. Let's pray for that. Last but not least, let's pray for House Church. Let's pray for Bowen, Hollywood, Kings Court, Mawan, and Southside. Let's pray that the Lord really just speaks through the leaders, empowers the leaders, trains the leaders, and allows leaders to just really bring about the truth and teaching this weekend, really to set the tone for a good, and intimate fellowship. Let's pray for that. Let me just close in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We don't take your love for granted. We don't take your steadfast love for granted. At the center of our faith is the cross. The cross is always a reminder that you love us. That you love us even though we're undeserving. You love us even when we're walking in sin. You love us even when we turn our face from you. You love us as that one sheep that has sometimes walked away from the other sheep. Lord, yet you keep pursuing us. And that pursuit, that reckless love, allows us to always turn back to you, transforms us to use our tongue, use our hands and feet in a way that brings about healing, and bring about community, and bring about restoration. God, we just pray. We pray that we never use our tongue to devise false schemes. We never use our tongue to sow discord. We never use our actions to bring about false loyalties and false allegiances. But that instead, we bring about a stronger relationships, stronger walks with God. We pray that you'll bring that about, that you'll influence us. That Father, we ask that you give us the strength to walk with you, and that this weekend is an enjoyable time where we get to rest in you. Thank you, Father. We pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. Have a lovely weekend, guys, and hopefully I'll see
you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.